This is Betty Trunell speaking for the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Mr. W.L. Huff, or Lindley Huff, and today we have other guests too. In fact, we have a family party here. We have Mrs. Lindley Huff, or Helen, and we have Marcia Morey, a granddaughter, who have come to add a little bit to the program. So we're going to have just a little discussion of family history and some of the reminiscences that Mr. Huff and Mrs. Huff have about Decatur. Well, Mr. Huff, I believe your family founded the Huff Lumber Company, which is still in business today after four generations. That's quite a record.
That's true.
I don't believe it had that name when it started, did it? What was it called when it started?
Huff Brothers
Lumber and Paying Mill Company.
And did it start, can you tell us a little bit about the history of the business? Did it start here in Decatur?
Yes.
Right here in Decatur?
Yes.
Three brothers.
And now this must have been your grandfather, great-grandfather?
No.
Who started it?
Your father.
W.J. Huff.
Your father.
S.E. and Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben. Mm-hmm.
Your father and your two uncles started the business.
Right.
And was it in the same, where was it located at when they started? What year was it? Do you recall, do you, Mrs. Huff, recall about the time it started? Well, it was a number of years ago. The year isn't too important.
You were born in 1888, so it probably was about 98, wasn't it?
You were a boy when the business started.
Yes, I was, huh?
Well, I didn't know you then, but I think it was,
Well, at any rate, it's been in business a long, long time. And do you know where it was when it first started? Do you have any idea?
You know why there?
Where was the business located when they started? It wasn't in the same position it is now, was it?
No.
No.
Uh-huh. Well,
I think it started down on Wabash Avenue, wasn't it, huh?
I think so. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, at any rate, you've had a long and honorable tradition in the lumber business. Let's talk about the time you were growing up, Mr. Huff, when you were a child and a little boy in Decatur. I presume you were born in Decatur, were you?
Yes.
What was it like when you were growing up?
Well, I don't know. It's very different.
One of the things was walking to school to the east part of town when you lived in the west part.
Yeah, that's right.
You walked clear across town?
Yeah.
A little different from today.
Over the Wabash tracks and across the levee. Three times a day.
Oh,
came
home. You came
home
at noon.
He was about 8 or 10.
Wow.
But they sent him over there, and he found some pretty rough boys that he had to get used to.
Well, that gave you a good training, though, didn't it, to get used to all kinds of people. Well, then...
I think you've mentioned that you thought that really was a good experience in the end,
mm-hmm.
Learning to get along with those boys. Isn't that the way you felt about it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to high school in Decatur?
Yes.
And then...
Decatur High School.
Milliken.
And then Milliken?
Mm-hmm.
What year, do you recall the year you graduated from Milliken?
I didn't graduate from Milliken.
Oh, I see. But you were attending Milliken?
Yes.
Probably in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then he worked in the bank, in the First National Bank, for a couple of years before he went into the lumber business.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, do you recall what parts you played in the lumber business, how you started, and what you finally did?
That's kind of a rough one.
Oh, no, you went out to Maroa and were manager.
That wasn't our business to get it.
Well, that was your first venture in it.
Yes.
You trained in the business, trained for the business in Maroa, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. He was manager of the Maroa Country Yard.
Oh, they had a branch there?
Mm-hmm. They had country yards, 8 or 9 his father had, and he went as manager to Maroa.
Well, that gave you some good training, good experience.
You ought to tell her about Bill Cross down there. There were so many interesting, colorful characters, as there always are in small towns. And this Bill Cross was one who really was very interesting. He was a little touched, but...
What was he like?
Well, he was a big old chap. I expect he'd be 6 feet tall if he wasn't bent over. He didn't have quite as much
gray matter.
Gray matter as many. As an example, I think I said to him one time, he came into my office, and he said, "I'm going to run for Justice of the Peace." "All right. Like every sport." I said, "Well, I'll give you a problem if you
solve it.
Solve it to my best ideas, why, I'll support you." "Said, all right, sir." I said, "Well, there are two coal yards in town." "Yes, sir." "Mine and Parker and Gray." "Yes, sir." "And I suppose sometime I just buy up the Parker and Gray yard quietly and under another name, and then I own all the coal in town." "Yes, sir, that's right." "Well, I guess cold weather, and I just raised the price of self coal to $14 a ton." "Oh, sir, you couldn't do it." "Said, why not?" "Said, you'd be guilty." "Guilty of what?" "He's arson, of course." I said, "Bill, I think I'll support you."
That was a funny one, too, about the judge, when he complained to the judge that they had no coal and were going to freeze that winter.
Oh, yes.
And what did he say?
I just started on it.
Well, he went in and told him if he didn't get coal some way that he was going to freeze.
Yeah.
That it was a desperate situation.
Yeah, and the judge said, "Well, with your idea of the way things are done and mine, which are a little bit different, you know, I'd just steal a little coal for letting my family freeze." He said, "That's right, Judge, that's right." So in the morning, when the judge got up and went to his coal, house to get a bucket of coal, it was empty.
He wasn't so stupid, was he?
No, he had more gray matter than he had credit for.
Well, then you came back to Decatur to take part in the business after you trained in Maroa. Mm-hmm. And what did you do here then?
Well, pardon me, W.L., when you were in Maroa, you more than just managed. Didn't you finally buy the lumber yard?
Oh, I owned the yard. I made.
Oh, you moved up to being the owner.
I borrowed the money from my father to buy it. In fact, I bought it from him and gave him a note for it.
Mm-hmm. How much was the lumber yard?
$10,000.
Oh!
And you paid it off in how many years?
How long did it take it, Mom?
Well, we were there 5 years. Yes. I don't know whether it was paid.
Were you married then?
No, mm-hmm. not when he first went there. But we were married soon after because of his very sad tales about what terrible meals he had.
Oh, he played on your sympathy.
And they had peaches, and they would always be canned, and he would get headaches because the food was so bad.
So you just had to marry him to take care of this poor fellow.
I had to rescue him from such a terrible life. I'm not sure I cooked any better.
Well, I can see how he succeeded with all of that salesmanship. Well, then you owned the place at Maroa. Did you stay there then?
We stayed how long, Mom?
We lived there until we were married. You went back and forth, didn't you?
Yes.
But we were there 5 years after we were married.
Then you did finally move to Decatur?
In 1917.
Mm-hmm. And what was your final position with the lumber business? Were you the president and manager?
Well, let me see. When I came back, no. Father had the business.
Yes.
And
it was wholesale lumber then.
Yes, we were doing a lot of wholesale business. We sold the Steady Company a great deal of lumber.
You took over the wholesale end, was
yes.
that it?
Yeah, uh-huh. And I'd go south once or twice a year on buying trips. And I guess that's about it.
Mm-hmm. And after your father was gone, then you took over?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of the Depression.
Oh, that would be a hard time to take over, wouldn't it?
It wasn't ideal.
Then it's better if you don't have your pipe in your mouth.
Well, now, you must have noticed a lot of changes in the lumber business over the years.
Yes.
What are some of the main changes?
Well, when we first started the lumber business, we operated out of Saragorda. And at that time, the old northern cork white pine was a wonderful wood, and it finally would cut out. There wasn't any more left.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went south and started buying yellow pine in the south. There were two kinds of yellow pine, long and short leaf. The long leaf was very strong, almost as strong as oak, and the short leaf was not so good. It was better for finishing lumber. So, where am I, Mom?
Well, you changed, so you had to buy from the West Coast instead of the South, isn't that true?
Oh, that is quite a while later.
Yes, mm-hmm. I know it was, but I don't know in between.
Mm-hmm.
How many lumber yards did you oversee in Central Illinois? Like, when W.J. Huff passed away, how many yards were there?
I think there were seven.
Nine, mm-hmm. Okay.
Seven or nine, yes, mm-hmm. Nine.
Mm-hmm.
All within surrounding communities of
yes.
Decatur?
Uh-huh.
And did you have a manager at each yard?
Yes. And he is usually a partner.
Mm-hmm.
What happened during the Depression that you told the managers that they had to do?
Well, I told the managers, each one of them, they had to get me a check for $10 every week. We didn't care where he got the money, but I had to have $10 a week. And on that $60 a week, I...
90.
Yes, $90 a week. I ran things and raised a family and got along beautifully.
Well, good. And they could give you that $10 a week.
They charged my account.
That gave them an incentive to get out and hustle.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that the type of lumber has changed a great deal since you were in business.
Yes.
You probably have other sidelines in the lumber business now than just the lumber. I'm assuming that you have, there are other activities, other products that go along with the lumber now.
Well, now the grandson, things yes. have changed, so it is a Decatur. They gave up the country mm-hmm. yards, it is a Decatur.
It's just Decatur now.
No.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe we could, unless you have some more you want to add to the lumber business, the discussion of lumber, let's go on to your community activities. You certainly contributed a great deal to the community life of Decatur. For example, weren't you on the school board?
Yes.
No.
I used to have a bunch of friends drop into the office in the morning and settle all the questions of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I said it's up to any of you guys that can to get on a tax-spending body, because if we don't have proper handling of that, we're all sunk. They said, that's certainly true. And about a week later, one of the boys came in and said, remember that stuff you were talking about? And I said, yes. He said, all right, now's your time to run for the school board. And I said, what the hell do I know about the school board? Well,
he called your bluff.
He said, you've got to have business administration. I said, all right, I'll run. And I did. And unfortunately, was elected.
And you were on and president for 12 and a half years, yeah. I think, 12 or 13.
And I've heard that you signed many, many certificates of people who graduated from the schools here.
I think about 10,000.
So all these people who have their, with those high school certificates?
Yes.
All those people who have high school certificates can look at them and see your signature on them.
That's right.
Very good.
I think, did each one of your three children receive their high school diploma with your name signed as president of the school board?
I think that's true.
I remember my mother, Dorothy Morey, the middle child, mm-hmm. saying that one time she went into her 7th or 8th grade classroom and her teacher looked at her and said, just because your father's president of the school board doesn't mean I'm going to give you any good grades.
Fine teacher. She hadn't studied psychology.
Well, any other memories of the school board that you want to bring out now?
Well, yes. The superintendent at that time was William Harris. And he was not only a fine man, but a very good educator. He was one of the best friends I ever had. I couldn't have managed the school board without his help.
You admired his business sense so much.
I sure did.
Well, that was a great tribute. You also were on the park board, too, weren't you?
Yeah, how'd that happen, Ma?
You've always been interested in Decatur Parks and,
oh, yes.
and very proud mm-hmm. of them, as most people are, and I think it was just your wanting to serve on that because of your interest in them.
I think so. Lisa Chandler was the superintendent of parks at that time, and he's one of the finest men I ever met. He could do more to ruin the King's English than anybody ever saw, but he was a natural.
Mm-hmm. He saved Decatur a great deal of money if people knew it.
Oh, yes.
And also gave them service in the parks.
Wonderful way, mm-hmm. the way you managed.
Mm-hmm.
You yep. were on that for 12 years, too.
I think
president
so.
Of
Then I think you also contributed during the war. I hear that you had a special war interest.
Yes, we had the Navy, got the Navy E for our production of munition boxes. We built a box that for the 5-inch anti-aircraft shell.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say we, you mean who did it?
The lumber company.
The lumber company did it? Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a real contribution.
You had a very nice compliment from one of the men high up after you finished about, he asked you why you hadn't raised your prices.
Well, I told him that I thought that if I didn't raise my prices, maybe my great-grandchildren would have less taxes to pay for this war.
Good answer. But you've always been interested in munitions, ammunitions, guns, and so on. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
And I hear you helped the police department here?
Oh, yes.
What did you do for them?
Well, the two of us, Mr. Traver and myself, got interested in the police department and decided that we ought to check more and see how they could shoot. And we were amazed at how they couldn't shoot. They were
mm-hmm.
terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so we undertook the proposition to teach them how to shoot, and we really enjoyed it very much.
And you gave help to the police department, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Who was this gentleman who helped you? Mr. Travers, you said?
Mr. Traver.
What was his first name?
William G.
William G. And so you and he contributed this effort to the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a real help.
We also were instrumental in putting the police, first police radio outside of Chicago in Decatur.
Oh, great. That was a real help to the police department, too.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
it's really a necessity.
Yes. And, of course, your interest in guns led to an interest in hunting, I presume.
Mm-hmm. Always have hunted.
Uh-huh. Around here?
Well, around here, and we had a crowd that went to the far north every winter, and
mm-hmm.
early part of winter, and did hunting.
Who were some of the people who went with you? You remember them?
Dr. Goodyear and
Dr.
Gus Daly.
Goodyear, A.E. Staley Jr.
Ralph Monroe.
Ralph Monroe, who was an attorney here.
Bill Collins, did he go?
No, Bill never went.
Well, those were all your cronies who went on these hunting trips with you.
Yes.
And I suppose fishing was another hobby.
Yes, that was a little later.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started fishing out of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Wyoming, too, when you got your antelope and those.
Yes.
Oh, you
yes.
really, you were able to snare an antelope?
Oh, yes.
Right there.
Oh, yes, it's looking down on
there
us right now.
This is the tail of a fish over
oh,
here.
Oh, yes. And your gun collection is mounted on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you really have your trophies around you, including, of course, your family, too. photography is another hobby, I understand.
Yes, it used to be.
Uh-huh.
The
Leica?
Yes, that was one of the...
One of your favorite cameras?
Yeah, it was my favorite camera.
Mm-hmm.
But the cameras got so smart now. I'm afraid of them. It's more than that.
Well, like computers, they know more than we do.
They sure do.
And you believe? I believe you also enjoy rock polishing.
Yes, that was another facet, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, oh uh-huh. yes. We had lots of fun hunting rocks.
Uh-huh. And, of course, books, too. You did like to read.
Yes, I like to be read, too.
That's where Marcia comes in.
Well, that's true.
She's a big help to you.
I developed glaucoma years ago. And
so you are...
I'm practically blind.
So you're dependent upon people mm-hmm. to help you out. Well, I'm sure they're glad to.
They're awful nice about it.
Very good. Well, why don't we talk about some of the people that you remember as making a special contribution to Decatur. You mentioned a poem that Mr. Staley gave you as a friend, is that right?
Yes.
You want to talk a minute about some of these friends, like Mr. Staley?
There was also George Chamberlain at Staley's that you had more business contacts
yes,
with.
Yes, G.E. Chamberlain was the general superintendent that built the Staley plant. And he and I were very good friends, and I sold the Staley's a good many 100,000 feet of lumber
mm-hmm.
when they built the plant here.
So you've had some very fine friends who've also contributed a great deal to the mm-hmm. city.
I think Gus Staley had the finest mind of any man I ever knew.
Well, that's a great tribute.
Did he have many friends, W.L.?
I don't know that he did. But I remember one time we were on a trip and we got into this little town. And the only way to get the news in the town was to come through on the wire. They'd make a copy on and stick it on a nail, and Gus went over that and the time we got cleaned up, taking our baths and so on, returning from the woods, Chamberlain had died. I don't know, there are many things that happened. He told me everything that had happened, not missing a thing, just from his mind, just remembering everything.
Well,
he had a remarkable mind.
Well, Mr. Huff, do you have any impressions of Decatur over these years that you've lived here?
I feel it's a very good town to live in, to bring up your children.
Well, that's great. And how about you, Mrs. Huff?
Oh, I think it's a garden spot of the world, except Hawaii.
And Marcia, have you enjoyed living here in Decatur?
I've traveled quite a bit throughout the country and throughout the world, but the thing that always brings me back are my family ties and the bonds and the foundation that my grandparents have built here. So in that respect, it is the paradise on earth, I think.
Well, great. Well, I think that that's a very nice note to end on, Mr. Huff.
Fine.
And I certainly appreciate your help, and Mrs. Huff and Marcia. It's been a real pleasure to reminisce over the days that you have had here in your business and in community efforts in Decatur. And I thank you very much.
Well, I've enjoyed talking to you very much about it. Hope I have made some...
Oh, you've made a real contribution. You have been listening to the reminiscences of Mr. W.L. Huff and assisted by Mrs. Huff and Marcia Maury, his granddaughter. This is Betty Trunell for the Decatur Public Library.